today on Living on Every Word.
I don't know where you are spiritually today. I don't know what you're struggling with. There might be some things in your life today that are really hard, that maybe even seem impossible. There might be some things in your life that's dead, some things in your life today that are life to the dead. We have a God who calls into being that which does not exist.
Resurrection. It's God's power to give life to the dead. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares the story of the resurrection of Lazarus, a demonstration of what Christ comes to do in our lives, in part two of Portraits of Resurrection.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We're doing, over the next several weeks, a series called Portraits of Resurrection. Portraits of Resurrection, and leading to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17 tells us that God is a God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. God gives life to the dead. God resurrects. God calls into being that which does not exist. I don't know where you are spiritually today. I don't know what you're struggling with. There might be some things in your life today that are really hard, that maybe even seem impossible. There might be some things in your life that's dead, that's absolutely dead, and you see no hope for it. But we have a God who gives life to the dead. We have a God who calls into being that which does not exist. It's what Jesus Christ came to do in the flesh. Jesus Christ resurrects. Jesus came to give life. You see it laced in the Gospels. You see Jesus giving life to a widow's son, to Jairus, the synagogue official's daughter. You see life given to the demoniac with the legion of demons. You see life given to Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons. You see the prodigal son restored to his father, the lost sheep restored to the shepherd, the lost coin restored to its owner. You see Peter's restoration and his own resurrection after three denials. Last week we looked at Psalm 40 and we saw your resurrection. If you're in Christ, you have been resurrected. And we see a man or a woman who comes from the pit of destruction and then comes to the rock and then he ascends to the congregation to be able to share life of who God is and what God has done. Jesus Christ resurrects. And one of the most powerful stories of resurrection of 2,000 years ago is when Jesus went to the grave of a friend and told him to come forth, Lazarus. We had this story in chapter 11, verses 1 through 46. I know it's a lot of verses, but I want you to follow along with me as we read this story. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said, Rabbi, the Jews were just seeking to stone you in Judea, and you're going there again? And he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he doesn't stumble, but he sees the light of this world. If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, then he'll recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Therefore Thomas, who's called Didymus, the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go so that we may die with him. Yeah, doubting Thomas is dying Thomas here, isn't it? What a great thought. how Thomas gets this bad rap. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. And Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she says. "I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into this world." When he said this, she sent away to Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher here is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. And now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. And then the Jews who were with her in that house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the grave or to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. And so the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Remove the stone." And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench. He's been dead 4 days." And he said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I knew that you always hear me, but because of people standing around, I said it so they may believe that you sent me." And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This points to the resurrection of the dead. This points to the power of God. This points to the miracle of God. The miracle power of God wanting to get into your heart, into your life, so that you might live this resurrected life. Now, when I was studying for this passage of Scripture this past week, I was intrigued by the letters in red. You know, the letters in red are the words of Jesus. And you know, there are not that many words in red in this passage of Scripture. So what I did, I went to the computer, and I just did the letters in red. And you know, as I began to look at the words of Christ, this thought of resurrection and this thought of power and this thought of life, I just got to tell you, got all over me. In this passage of Scripture, it is what Jesus comes to do to those people and to those places that are dead. The first word that I want you to notice in red is, "Our friend Lazarus is dead. Let us go to him." Our friend Lazarus is dead. Let us go to him. I like what this passage of Scripture speaks about Lazarus. First of all, Jesus calls him friend. When Martha calls for Jesus, he says, or the sister sends word to him, they say, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." The Bible also says that Jesus loved Martha, loved her sister, loved Lazarus. I mean, this family was known as a family that Jesus engaged, that Jesus knew, that Jesus expressed great affection and kinship. And this man, this one that is our friend, and this one who has fallen sick, and these sisters are calling out to Jesus to come and to visit their household so that their brother will not die. And Jesus waits 2 days. I don't understand that, except from the fact, and you don't understand it either, when God seems to wait and God seems to tarry, and you say, where is God in all this? But Jesus tarries. Why does he tarry? Because there's a miracle coming. I mean, if we could only just think about that when we think, Jesus is tarrying here. Jesus is not answering what I think that he ought to be answering, and where is he, and I'm waiting. Would I not dare to believe that in the days that seems that Jesus is just waiting and tarrying, and I'm going through what I'm going through, that maybe, just maybe, there is a miracle coming? There's a miracle coming here. And the plan of God is for Lazarus to die. And for the glory of God, he will come and will raise this man up. Now, Martha doesn't understand this. Mary doesn't understand this. They've just sent word. They don't know what's going on. Jesus hasn't showed up yet. Jesus is not all that far. Where is he? Where are you, God? Where are you, Jesus? But what is Jesus saying? Our friend Lazarus is dead. He's dead. But let us go to him. Let us go to him. Will we hear that word today? Will we hear Jesus inviting us? Our friend is dead. Let us go to him. With great affection, with great power, with great faith, with great life, who will go? There's people in your life today struggle. And they need us to come to them. My prayer is that we will hear this. We will hear the word of Christ that says, Cottonwood, our friend is dying or our friend is struggling. Let us go to him. Let us go to them. Let us go to this family. Let us go to this people. Let us go to this nation. Let us go to this community. Who will go? Who came to you? Who went? That's what Jesus says. Let's go to him. Isaiah 6:8, in Isaiah's call, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Go and tell this people. It's the invitation to life. And so what does Jesus do? He gets up and they go. And he's declared to his disciples, no, he's not sleeping. He's dead. And it's interesting because when he gets near the place, he's not even to the village yet, and Martha has come, and she heard that he was coming, and she went to meet him in verse 20, and Mary stayed in the house, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And here's the second word in red, your brother will rise again. It's hope. See, when we come with this message of Christ, we come with faith that believes that when God sends us to a people or God sends us to a person, we just believe that God's going to raise them up, that God's going to do a work, that God's going to do this powerful work. I mean, it's God who's sending us, isn't it? It's God who's prompted us, isn't it? It's God who has moved us to these places that are dead, these places that are struggling. So we have this confidence. We have this faith. And so when we say, let us go to our friend, we go or we come with faith. Faith in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we've seen it in our own lives. We've seen it in our own lives. How God resurrected us and gave us this new life. So we come, we go with faith. We go to that person who's struggling, that person who's lost, that person who's dead, that person who's hurting, and we go with faith in a great God who is able to raise the dead. And that's what we believe. And we go, we believe that God's going to do this work. And the question is, will we believe this? Do we believe in the resurrection power of God? People who are dead in trespasses and sins, and they're now alive in Christ. What does that look like? Keep your place in John chapter 11, and just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 for just a moment. Let's show you what resurrection life looks like. Because resurrection life is very practical. It's not nebulous. It's not, well, something out there that you can't live until you're in heaven one day. No, this is resurrection life. I think it's very safe to say that when you look at these two verses and you can look in the context of last week's message of those who are in the pit, these people are in pit. And some of us were like this. Matter of fact, some of the church at Corinth was like this. But watch, verse 11, such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. This once was you. You were people living out your life in trespasses and sins. You were adulterers, you were fornicators, you were liars, you were drunkards, you were these kinds of people. But new life came, and by faith, our brother rose again. We rose again, and we rose again to the new life of God. Have you risen again? Have you risen again? And do you hear the invitation of God that says, let us go to these people. Let us go to our friends. Let us go to our brother. Let us go to those that we are so affectionate for, so that we know that we believe. Let's go with faith, believing that this resurrection power is available today. Our friend Lazarus is dead. Let us go to him. Your brother will rise again. Third word in red. Find it in verses 33 and following. Where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? And I just think about in the context of what we have in red here, what Jesus says, I think we go with compassion. Jesus is a compassionate one. Look at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? Where is he? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Powerful. Powerful thought of the humanity of Christ who weeps. Why does he weep? There's a couple of things about this passage of Scripture. When the Bible says that he was deeply moved and he was troubled, literally it's this, he groaned in the Spirit. He's moved and he's groaned over what death and what sin does. He's the great high priest who knows what we go through. He knows loss. He knows death. He knows those things that the fall has brought. There's just something about him here that's just troubled by this whole thought of death, just like it troubles us. But he weeps. And he weeps with the sister. He weeps with those who weep. See, when we go to our friend who is dead, who is struggling, we go with this faith in the power of God, but we go with compassion. English word is empathy, not sympathy, empathy. We feel the pain. We feel the struggle. We groan for it. Matter of fact, the Bible says the whole creation groans for resurrection. Jesus is just groaning for it. But he's there with them. He's weeping with them. Weeping. Bottom line is he weeps over death, loss, and what death does to people's lives. Where have you laid him? Such concern, such great compassion, such great willingness to come to these people and speak into their lives. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, be of the same mind together. Yes, where have you laid him? A fourth word. Remove the stone. Remove the stone. We come with confidence. Now, he's been dead for 4 days. His sister says there'll be a stench, and she's right. 4-day-old corpse, stink. That's what death does. It rots us out. And Jesus says something really interesting in verse 40. Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? There is such great confidence here. There's such a great word that's coming. And it's a wonderful word where God will raise the dead and will call into being that which does not exist. And we must help people who do not see what Christ has come to do. We help them see the lies that they believe, and we go with confidence. Remove the stone. We're a part of removing the obstacles in people's lives that have a hard time believing and a hard time living. You've been skilled to do that. You've been equipped to do that. Remove the stone. What is it that we remove in people's lives? Stumbling blocks. We help them with faith. We help them in praying. We help them see from a different perspective. To see life of how God offers it and what God's done in our lives. Remove the stone. Remove the hindrances. Remove the stumbling blocks. Remove the stone. A fifth word in red. Lazarus, come forth. We come with a word. We come with wonderful words of life. We speak to it. It's what Jesus is doing. He is speaking to death. And he's conquering death. Although temporary, one day eternally. And this is where we pray for people. This is where we declare life. This is where we're bold. This is where we bring people to the point of salvation or to the point of life change. This is where we say, you can do this. This is where we say that God has done this in your life, that you can be changed, that you can be free, that you can come to life. It's speaking words in boldness that says you don't have to live this way anymore. There's a wonderful passage of Scripture in Ezekiel chapter 16. Turn there, if you would, and Ezekiel chapter 16. This is a word about the birth of Jerusalem. And in verse 4 of Ezekiel chapter 16, let's notice what he says. Actually, we'll start in 3. Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your origin and your birth are from the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite. As for your birth, on the day that you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt, and you weren't even wrapped in cloths. And no eye looked with pity on you to do any of the things for you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field. Why? Because you were abhorred on the day you were born. But when I passed, when I came to you, when I said, let us go to our brother, when I came to you, when I passed by, I had compassion. I had life to give. When I passed by you and I saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. And I made you numerous. I made you more numerous like plants of the field. And you grew up and you became tall. You became ready for covenant. Do you see the picture? People in the pit. This is so graphic. A baby thrown in a trash dump. And the navel cord, it's the umbilical cord still not tied off. I mean, it's there to die. And it squirms in its blood. And he says, that was you. And I came by and I passed by. And I said, live. Live. I came by and I said, Lazarus, come forth. Come alive, church. Where you're dead in your thinking, come to life and start thinking the thoughts of God. Where you're dead in faith, come to life, church, to believe the awesome promises of God. Come to life by believing that you can be free today, that you can walk in a boldness, that you can walk in life and not be defined by a stench of death. Lazarus, come forth. And what do you think happens? Lazarus, he comes forth. He is alive. He's returned to his family. And then there's one other word here, this red letter word that Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. We go with instruction. We go with instruction. We're able to instruct people how to live. We're able to instruct people what's right, what's wrong. We're able to look in the Word of God and the Scriptures to show folks and give them instruction on how to live. Unbind him and let him go. Grave clothes. We have to be a part of getting grave clothes off of people. I'm just going to say this. Some of you are in grave clothes still. Grave clothes. It's not dressed for readiness. That's not dressed for the things of this life, this world. And there's still people bound with grave clothes. You walk in bitterness today, you've got grave clothes all over you. You're filled with lust, you've got grave clothes all over you. You're a man or a woman given to anger, outburst of anger, you're still in your grave clothes. Walk in fear, grave clothes. Grumbling, complaining, grave clothes. Grave clothes. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. But there's no place in your closet, in your chest of drawers, in your wardrobe for grave clothes. Unbind him and let him go. Let God come. Take these grave clothes off of you. Because grave clothes still stink. And it stinks up everybody around you and defiles everyone around you. If you've been raised with Christ and you're still bound up in the grave clothes, and we know we can go to scriptures and we can see all the sins. I don't need to list sins for you today. You know what they are. You know what it looks like when you speak or when you are ugly or when you respond inappropriately or you do coarse jesting or you have abusive speech that comes out of your mouth or any of those things. Those are all images of death. They're grave clothes. That's the grave. That's not life. You've been called to be dressed in Jesus Christ. Robes of righteousness. Robes of righteousness. Red letter words. Our friend Lazarus is dead. Let us go to him. Your brother will rise again. Where have you laid him? Remove the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Unbind him and let him go. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? I want to ask you a question this morning. What's in your heart today? Have you known the power of the resurrection, Jesus Christ? You may be here today and you've never, ever given your life to Christ. Maybe you've done that. You've received Christ, but yet there's still death around you. Maybe there's a relationship that's just dead right now. There's no life to it. Maybe there's an area of life that's dead and there's no hope for you. Can I believe, will I believe in the power of God to such an extent that I know that God is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist? He did it in my life and he's done it before. Will you not trust with confidence what Jesus Christ has come to do in your life? Maybe you're here today with grave clothes on, and it's time to get them off. Would you just commit that to God today? Would you just walk in agreement with him? The Bible says that he gives us authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You have the authority. You have the authority to do that today. And you have the promise to do that. You can go from this place free. Church, come forth. And then let us go to our brothers and sisters who struggle and are dead. Father God, I want to thank you for this word. I want to pray that it not return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire in every life here. I pray, Father, for examination. I pray for hearts that are just tuned to you today. I ask, God, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up. And I ask these things in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake and his glory. Amen and amen. Lazarus, come forth from the pit to the rock to a resurrected life. I pray for you and your family this week for resurrected life because that's the portrait of a resurrected life, a man coming out after 4 days dead. I don't know how long that person in your life's been dead, but I want to tell you, there is hope this very day. And I pray that you'll grab it, and that you'll believe it, and that you'll live it, and that you'll speak it. Amen. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on